good friend of the show from the Team 1040 in Vancouver. Matty Skaris joins us again. Matt, how are you?
Jason, good afternoon, my friend.
How are things in Vancouver?
Well, I'm actually in Kamloops as we speak because we're up here with the BC Lions going through training camp. So we've been here all week and one more day here in Canada's tournament capital, they call it, Jason. You can't swing a dead cat here without finding some sort of sports tournament going on at some level.
Oh, okay. Love it. What are your thoughts, Matt? You've covered the CFL for a long time, going back to your Ottawa days, and I want to get your thoughts on Ottawa coming back in a second. But
sure.
What are you thinking about the labor? We all know that the strike can happen legally next Tuesday. Do you think the players go on strike to try to put the pressure on the owners before preseason?
Yeah, I see something coming, Jason. I think the league has sufficiently ticked the players off that they're willing to at least have some sort of demonstration here in training camp where they walk off the job. And Jason, let's face it, football players hate training camp. This is very much a veteran move, them taking a few days off, as much as it is a labor action to stay away from the two-a-days and the heat. So, yeah, I do think we're going to see something, because I think they need something to show the owners that they're serious. And I do think, you know, that the CFL very much started a high-ball, low-ball exercise here with a very low ball. I don't think it's going to last that long. I would be stunned if there's an interruption to the start of the regular season. And I do think at the end of the day that there are enough good people on both sides of the ledger here that a deal is going to get struck, because I do think the Canadian players who are forefront in the union understand that the Canadian sporting public is a little bit sick of labor stoppages, thanks to our friends in the NHL.
Agreed. The last thing the CFL needs is anything lengthy. If it was a week, people would probably say, okay, fine, they got their deal. Now move on. The BC Lions, any major changes on that team? What should we expect?
Well, it's funny because it's looking less and less like Travis Lule is going to play in the home opener. He hasn't done very much, if anything, at training camp this year. He's coming off shoulder surgery. It hasn't gone particularly well in terms of him doing a speedy recovery here. Now, I do think the Lions are being cautious, but I think one of the reasons why they traded their first-round pick, the fifth overall in the draft this year, for Kevin Glenn is because they knew that Travis Lule was very much touch and go to go in the opener. And I do think you're going to see Kevin Glenn be the BC starting quarterback, at least in week one, if not for several weeks early in the season.
Did he have any complications with that surgery?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's complications. I just think it was major surgery. It's a long recovery, and Travis Lule didn't throw the hottest, you know, he wasn't the biggest arm to begin with. And so I think the combination of him, you know, even being able to make even fewer of the throws than he normally does coming off this surgery, and the fact that he plays the game with such a competitor streak and a reckless abandon that he takes a whole lot of hits. I think Wally Buono and Mike Benavides have sort of looked at it and said, okay, we're going to play the long game here. We're going to make sure we have good quarterbacking with Kevin Glenn out of the chute, or at least experienced quarterbacking out of the chute, so that Travis Lule is good to go in week 17 and week 18 when we're fighting for a playoff spot. And if he does happen to get injured, well, at least we now have Kevin Glenn, who gives us a fighting chance against the Calgarys and Saskatchewans in a prospective West final.
Yeah, you look at the West. Saskatchewan, of course, is very good. You know, Calgary, Edmonton was 4-14. They've only got really the only way they can go is up. What are your expectations with all the coaching changes and you know, a lot of player changes as well?
Yeah, well, you're right about the player changes, and of course some of that was a function of Ottawa, which I think did, you know, spread the talent maybe a little more thinly across the league. But the problem with the expansion process is that it hurt the lower teams as much as the higher teams. By the end of last year, Jason, it was pretty clear that Saskatchewan and Calgary were the two best teams in the West, not much separating them, that BC was a discernible three, and that Edmonton was a discernible four. At this stage of the game, even with Winnipeg moving over, I don't necessarily see a change in tiers. I think Calgary and Saskatchewan are the two best teams. I think BC is the clear third choice, and I think, you know, Edmonton and Winnipeg will fight, you know, to be the fourth and fifth place teams. So Saskatchewan certainly put into a lot into last year's basket with the home Grey Cup. And that does sort of make me wonder at the end of the day whether, you know, Calgary will take the mantle from them this year and be the team that comes out of the West in November.
Matt Sakaris joins us from Team 1040 in Vancouver, of course, out in Kamloops for BC Lions training camp. Outside of Lule, who are some new faces on either the offense or defense we should expect in BC?
Well, I mean, offensive line has been a project for years now, Jason, and one that they continue to not be able to get right. So I think you're going to see a new offensive left tackle here who's going to be key to protecting, whether it's Kevin Glenn or Travis Lule. They lost Nick Moore in free agency, the wide receiver, and so that means somebody needs to step up in that regard. I still don't think that position is settled, much like defensive left tackle. The one guy coming back here, and I say coming back because he's a CFL veteran, spent 5 years in Hamilton and now is back here with BC where he spent his first few years, is Jamal Johnson, the linebacker, who, you know, was a CFL All-Star several years ago, terrific special teams player. And with him and Adam Big Hill and Solly Elamimium, I think their linebacking core could be, you know, as good and deep as it has ever been here in BC and the best core in the CFL. And so I suspect that BC lost Corey Banks, who lost Nick Moore, who lost Teron Williams and some of their leaders and best players, is going to go through some transition problems in the early going of the season while they figure these positions out and find out, you know, who their guys are, who the eventual replacements are. But I do think they'll be very, very good at linebacker. And I do think they'll be very, very good at running back with Andrew Harris and Steph Logan, who spent a number of years in the NFL before coming back late last season. I mean, he's a little scat, you know, space daylight runner, and Andrew Harris is pretty good between the tackles. And, you know, that's something they may actually be looking at this year. Wally Bono teams normally pass. This one may have to very much run in the early going of the season to set up the passing game.
Moving to hockey, Matt, Willie Desjardins, a lot of people are trying to put the numbers together between him and Linden, and, of course, he's still in the Calder Cup final in the AHL. There is the coaching vacancy. Do you think he's the front runner, and that's the reason why they haven't announced a head coach, because he's still coaching?
I think he's one of the lead candidates. I'm not sure he's the front runner. Everyone does the math on the Medicine Hat connection, of course, where Willie was for years and years and where Trevor Linden played his junior hockey and is from. But I do think John Stevens factors into the front-runner conversation as much as Willie Desjardins. Stevens is the assistant coach in Los Angeles. They're in the Stanley Cup final. He was one of the lead candidates here last year. I think he interviewed very well and got good reviews amongst the Canucks brass, some of whom is the same in terms of ownership and the assistant executives to Jim Benning and Trevor Linden. So I think Linden and Willie Desjardins are both serious candidates. That's why we haven't got a coach yet. I do wonder whether the Canucks talked to Willie Desjardins during the AHL playoff series because, of course, they played Toronto and the combine was in Toronto, and I do believe there was some overlap. So I could very much see Willie being the next head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, but I think there's an equal chance that it's John Stevens coming off what could be two championships in the last 3 years. With LA.
With Alain Vigneault in the Stanley Cup final, are Canuck fans wondering, oh, geez, we made a mistake? Like, when you look back now a year later and you take a step back, Tortorella clearly wasn't the right style to the type of players. I don't know if Vigneault still was or not, but what do you think their new coach has to bring, or what type of system do they need to work with the players they have?
Yeah, well, we do get some of, they never should have fired Alain Vigneault. He's a good coach. And I firmly believe he's a good coach. I mean, he's back in the Stanley Cup final here with a team that wasn't exactly the Eastern Conference favorite at any point this year. I do think a lot of Canucks fans also acknowledge that, look, you know, even though John Tortorella was not the right guy, it was time for Vigneault to go. He had a very good run here, had a lot of success. And by the end of last year, they just seemed like a defeated lot with a head coach who was sort of out of answers for a group of players that had remained the same for a number of years, and a group of players who maybe weren't necessarily completely in tune with the head coach after a long period of time together. I do think there's a lot of fans in Vancouver that very much wish Vigneault well in this Stanley Cup final, although it will hurt because, of course, he got them to a Game 7 a few years ago and they weren't able to win. But the new coach, at least by Trevor Linden and Jim Benning, is going to have to be someone who can play with a little bit more of a tempo than John Tortorella did, that sought to, you know, seek to score goals as much as prevent them and play to the strengths of the Sedin twins. So I don't necessarily know, you know, how John Stephens and Willie Desjardins compare on that score one another, vis-a-vis one another. But I think those two guys, plus anyone who can convince them that he can get the best out of their offensive players, is a real candidate here.
Matt Sakaris joins us. Matt, I want to get your thoughts on football coming back to Ottawa. You were there. You were covering the Renegades for a long time. What do you think they have to do different this time to ensure that in 4 or 5 years they're not out of the league again?
Yeah, well, I think two things, Jason, are already done for them. Number one, the CFL is far more financially stable than it ever was in the, you know, last days of the Rough Riders and the early to mid-90s and in the four brief years that the Renegades were around at the turn of the century. With the type of money that the owners and players are squabbling over right now, there's enough there to make a much healthier financial go of a football team in Ottawa than there has been since really the mid-70s. The other thing, of course, is that they have the right guys owning the franchise. These are three big wallets that have deep, deep roots in the city of Ottawa. And an operator, Jeff Hunt, who's done a marvelous job with the junior hockey franchise that's, you know, right next door in the arena to the stadium. What they have to do is, number one, convince people that CFL isn't a four-letter word, that, you know, the league and all its past transgressions is not going to screw them again and give them terrible ownership or create a scenario whereby they make money off new owners but don't give the new team a fighting chance to succeed. The expansion draft was fair. They should have a base from which to build on here. And the other thing they'd have to do, which they're also doing a whole lot better a job at than either the Riders or the Renegades, is that's attract the Francophone fans. I mean, we've seen how football has exploded in the province of Quebec. That includes Western Quebec, which is right across the river from Ottawa, and the east end of the city, where you have as many Francophones as you do Anglophones. And it seems they've done a much better job as Red Blacks of getting that person on board than the Renegades did or the Rough Riders did. I mean, shoot, Jason, the Renegades had some paltry number. I mean, it was like well under 100 who were actually, you know, fans on the Quebec, season ticket holders on the Quebec side of the river. So, you know, they're doing a better job of sort of capturing this interest in football that's there amongst the French community. And that interest was never in the Renegades and was rarely in the Rough Riders in their last years.
Yeah, you know, the ownership and the connection. What about the fans? You lived in Ottawa. I've heard that it's not a great sports town.
Now,
they haven't really had a winning team, though, right? And I really was hoping the CFL would have given them a better chance coming out of the gate by actually protecting fewer players so they could have, I think, had better legitimate CFL players. Because realistically, what are they, 3 years away from probably being competitive?
Well, I mean, I guess the motto was to hope that they were competitive in year one. I'm not necessarily sure that that's going to happen, although Henry Burris gives them a much bigger fighting chance than their quarterback situation the last time around, which is when they got Edmonton's third stringer, Dan Crowley. The East is pretty weak, Jason. You know, like, you know, with Montreal going through transition, I could see the team finishing third. You're right. It probably is going to be 2 to 3 years before they can build up a really solid base to, you know, consider themselves a year-in, year-out contender. But I do think the fans understand the dynamics and the economics of the CFL now versus, you know, the Renegades days or the final days of the Rough Riders. And so I think that's going to help. And, you know, yeah, I do think winning is important at some level. And in this case, winning sooner, much sooner than your typical expansion team. But I think if they're not winning, you know, to some degree this year and a contender in the next 3 years, then that's very much as much on management as it is the CFL.
Well said, Matty. Good talking to you, and we'll see. Maybe we'll have a brief My prediction is that the CFL strikes for 2 days and the league doesn't want to even miss a preseason game where they get all the gates and TV revenue and they are back playing by the weekend.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Jason, that the first regular season game is a pressure point for the owners that isn't for the players because they don't get paid for that game. It's not a huge gate. It's not worth, you know, the most to TSN, but it creates enough problems for owners and the broadcaster that they get some leverage, they get a better deal, and they sign something, and everyone goes happily along their way.
Matty, always good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon.
And to you, Jason. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.